314. And I'm going to use this occasion to welcome those who just turned in KKNC, AAB in the dial, for those who turned in the internet at kkmc.com. And I met many, many of them in the East Coast last week. And for those who will listen to our broadcast a week later through the tape, and for those who are watching in Michigan via television, we thank God for the opportunity to be exposed coast to coast, north to south, and even from Italy. And I got a letter from Lebanon. And so with the internet, you have unlimited resources. And we thank the Lord that people are listening. And I even got great comments from Pastor Van Dyke, who preached last week, already phone calls because of his preaching. And so we thank the Lord for the opportunity to broadcast. But many, many, many people are listening, and our intention is that they will come to the knowledge of Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior. And so here is a song who said, I am thine, O Lord. And I hope this is true in your life.
Thank you.
invite you to stand, please, as we sing the last hymn in this series of praise, number 500 in our hymn book. We're going to sing the first and the last stanza of number 500, please. Together, our Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence in the name of Jesus, our High Priest. We love him and he loves us. And above all, Father, we have an intercessor, not a human being, but God himself and the person of Christ. One who has been accepted, one who is at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. Oh, Father, how precious is to know this great truth, that we do have one who take our prayers into the very throne of grace. As a church body, oh Father, we praise your name for giving us a day, Sunday, in which we worship thee in spirit and in truth. We thank you, Lord, for those who are listening here in the auditorium, for those who join together to praise your name and to worship the Lord. We thank you, Lord, for those who are in home, and they are listening because sometimes they are shut in and they cannot go out. Sometimes it's an emergency. And now they are tuned to the station KKMC. And we thank you, Lord, for each one of them. And perhaps they do have difficulties, stress, spiritual weakness, perhaps physical weakness. And Father, we pray for that healing power of God as we learn today in our Sunday school class. Father, I pray for those who are listening in the tape ministry and for the great expansion that they pass the tapes to different people. And I have met some of them, and I thank you, Lord, for the encouragement they were to me last week in Pennsylvania. And I pray, Lord, that you bless those homes and you gave them clarity of mind and gave them the peace of God in their heart to serve you with all their heart and their mind and their soul. Father, we pray for those who are listening via internet. And Lord, thank you for this station, for their kindness and putting us in their web page. And so free of charge, we are across the world. Thank you, Lord, that you are the one who empower your word, and no man will stop that precious word of the living God. Father, this morning we are thankful that we have the Gideons with us. We love the word of God, and we encourage anyone to give to this institution who believes the word of God and who passed the word of God across the nations and across the different countries. Oh, Father, we are blessed in having these people coming to us and tell us a little bit about their background and about the wonders that you are doing in their ministry. And Father, we are thankful for those who are here and for those who are in vacation. Perhaps we have some of the members with sickness. And Father, we pray for Betty Tarp. Lord, I visit with her, and she's under a very careful examination and details in her life, and she's accepting her condition in a marvelous way as a testimony of Christianity. And I was blessed in the visit, and I was encouraged by her faith. And so, Father, thank you for the elderly people in our church who are an encouragement to me as they share their faith and their standing with thee. Lord, we pray for those who have unbelieving heart. We did have unbelieving heart before, but you break through, and through your word and through the power of the Spirit, you brought us to Christ. And I pray for those who have mixed confusion and who are misleading their life, that you will reach them out and convict them of sin. As the Bible said, that you have sent the Holy Spirit to convict us of sin. Oh, Father, how I pray that many be saved, so that one day the trumpet will sound and we will march into heaven with power and glory. Now bless us as we continue in the ministry. Bless the offering and bless the giver. Thank you for your people in this church, because they are good givers. They are people who love you. And because they love you, they want to empower the ministry. Thank you, Father, for each one of them. Bless the offering. Bless the giver. Bless our meeting. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated, please. My friends, this is Pastor Otero speaking to you from back of the auditorium, and it is my purpose to bring greetings from the church to all of you. Once again, to offer our phone number, which is 778-2595, 778-2595. Today we have the visit of the Gideons, and we are very glad for them to be here. I want just to tell you the things that happen in our church, so that you are a part of, just as you were seated here. We have a picnic coming in on September the 9th, and I hope you could come, call us, and we'll let you know right there. It's going to be right there in Aptos, in the beach, so you let us know. We have wonderful membership class to start on September 3 to 5 in the afternoon, and baptism classes, and you maybe can call and find out what it is. And we have missionary boxes for missionaries, so that we can send a gift in Christmas. You maybe can inquire about one of them. May God bless you and reach you, and above all, I want you to be a part of our family, the extended church. God bless you. Let us join the service in progress. Thank you.
Thank you, choir. Please take your Bibles now and turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 1 through 5. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you'll find today's reading on page 890. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 5. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you and praise you as we come again to worship you, our presence before you being made possible by your grace and the life and sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you for the encouragement we have in the great examples of those who have run the race before us, and the greatest example, our Lord Jesus Christ. What a comfort it is to know that Jesus is not only the author of our faith, but also the finisher. We pray, Father, that you would strengthen us, that we would be prepared for our inheritance as your adopted sons and daughters, through discipline when necessary. Now we pray for your servant and our pastor, Gabriel Otero, as he brings the teaching from your word today, that you would give us understanding so that we may be obedient to your commands. We ask that you would bless Pastor's teaching, that if there are some listeners who do not know you, that by your power they would believe and you would save them. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Now, before Pastor comes to bring the message from God's word today, I would like to introduce Ron Scythe, a man who takes very seriously the Great Commission to bring the gospel to every Christian and make disciples of all nations. In obedience to that call, he has devoted much time to a ministry familiar to us, the Gideon's International, who distribute God's good news, the Bible, throughout the world. Ron is past president of the Gideon's in California, and he has come to further explain the work of the ministry and how we may participate in it. Ron, please come and do so, my friend Ron Scythe.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Pastor Otero, for allowing us to report this morning about what God is doing here in the United States and around the world with the Gideon Ministry. And thanks to those of you that have been remembering us in your prayers and with your financial contributions, making you partners with us in one of the largest missionary endeavors in the world. I bring thanks from over 225,000 Gideon and auxiliary wives that serve as missionaries, that is, extended arms of your church, in 175 countries of the world. Generosity of Christian supporters like you make it possible for us now to print scriptures in 79 languages and distribute them at the rate of 153,000 copies per day. That is 1.8 copies of the Word of God being handed out by a Gideon someplace in the world every tick of the clock, 24 hours a day, 365 days of the year. Praise God. What a missionary endeavor. In Isaiah 55:11, we read, So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. A young student rings a woman's doorbell to return a purse that she had left on top of her car while loading her groceries, refused a reward, and told her that if he had not received a little orange Bible, from the Gideons near his school a few days earlier, she would never have seen her purse again. God's word not returning void. I'm pleased to report that each year our men give thousands of testaments to students in middle schools and high schools throughout the world. Many of these schools, especially in the United States in the past, allowed us to come in and to talk about Jesus with the students. But now we must offer the testaments from the public sidewalk near the school. Most of you are familiar with our hotel and motel Bible. What you likely do not know that is every 6 years or so, we replace all the Bibles with fresh new copies. The old ones are then sentenced to a life in prison. A note found in a Gideon Bible returned from a motel room said this: "To whom it may concern, I rented this room with the thought of killing myself. The Bible saved my life." Proverbs, page 696. And on that page was underscored Proverbs 14:1. "Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands." Pregnant by another man, I have a loving husband, yet I was unfaithful. So foolish, so young. We all have problems. I just called my husband. He knows, and he forgives. Sign me grateful. This book is blessed. Again, God's word not returning void. The life of the mother and the young child were spared. Every 6 months, we call on hotels and motels locally and around the world to replace the Bibles that have been removed by someone or been unduly soiled from use. And you might be interested to know that in the United States alone, it takes 1 million copies of the hotel Bible just to do replacements and then, of course, the new growth of hotels. 1 million copies per year. The Gideon's International is generously supported by pastors and churches like yours who realize that an indispensable element in winning people to Christ is to present them with the gospel message. Only 9 of our 175 countries in which we are organized are self-supporting, that is, raise enough funds to purchase their own scriptures. That means that we, whom God has blessed so much in this country, have to share our blessings so others can have a copy of the Word of God. We need you and we need your hands. Christians, we need your praying hands first. 2 Thessalonians 3:1 says, "Finally, brothers, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you." Christian business and professional men among you, we need your helping hands. Men with a burden for the lost, willing to join us in the doing of the work of this ministry. If interested, you can talk with any one of us Gideons after the service about what is necessary to become a member of our organization. And I see a couple smiling Gideons here in the audience. So, brothers and sisters, we need your open hands through which dollars can flow. The average cost of each scripture placed outside of the United States last year was $1.28. The hotel Bible costs us $4.75 per copy in the quantities that we buy. 100% of donations to the Gideons are used for the purchase and placement of scripture and are tax deductible. We have a memorial Bible plan that you can use the year round. You can dedicate Bibles in honor or in memory of friends and loved ones by completing the tear-off section of your bulletin insert today. And included also in your insert is either an in-memory or an in-honor card, which we encourage you to take home with you and to use on the first occasion that arises. And we will have a Bible rack. We're having trouble locating it, but we'll have a rack for your church to replenish your supply throughout the year as you need. We encourage you to take the cards home and have them readily available, because oftentimes you hear of a loved one that's passed away or you're going to a golden wedding anniversary party and you don't know what to do. You just dedicate some Bibles to those people. And what a Christian witness is a card that's passed around at the program. Now, your church has made a generous offering to the Gideons, so we'll not be taking an offering this morning, but we have provided envelopes, which are also in your bulletin insert. And if you feel inclined to help us with our burden for the lost, make checks payable to Gideons International and hand it to one of our Gideons or by our display table in the back after the service, or the address is on the envelope and you can mail it to us. Picture the outstretched hands of Christ on the cross as he reached out to save us. Then remember that from your hands to our hands into their empty hands, because of his hands, is why we distribute the word of God, that others may know. At a Gideon distribution in a school in Tanzania, things had slowed down, so several of the men went to a local hospital to give away some Bibles. They had to pass through a checkpoint, and soldiers insisted on copies of the free Bible. As the remaining team waited at the school, they saw something moving off in the distance. As it got closer, it turned out that it was a mass of students from another school about a half a mile away that had heard of the free Bibles being distributed and ran all the way to the school to get their copy. They soon ran out of Bibles, and the children were begging for their free copy. The men returned from the hospital with only empty boxes. Most of our distributions in these destitute countries end this way, empty hands. I have a vivid picture in my mind of a young African woman on her knees in the gravel, begging for a free copy. If we don't provide a copy, who will? A grandmother received a hospital testament from a Russian Gideon. With tears running down her cheeks, she told of her granddaughter constantly asking her, tell her about God. The grandmother said she knows nothing about God, but now you have given me the book that tells me all about God, and I will read it to her. God's word, not returning void. Russian Gideons have been placing scriptures at the rate of over 500,000 per month since 1989, when God first opened those doors. By God's grace and enabling, over 65 million copies have been placed in 22 former communist countries. Over 6,000 Gideon and auxiliary wives are working in these previously communist-dominated countries. What a missionary effort. To God be the glory. Thank you, and may God richly bless you as you give, so others can have their own copy of God's word to read. You know, we have his promise, it will not return void. And with your help, we can fill the empty hands. Thank you.
Thank you, my brother. And our church is always in favor of placing the Bible, the only thing we have from God, the Bible, as the authority and as the proper way to be informed about God. This morning, I want to talk to you. I want to take the phone out so that you can shut off that line. I'm going to talk to you out of a text that we find in the scripture in the book of Hebrews in chapter 12, in verse 1, and actually about a sentence that ends that particular text. The book of Hebrews, chapter 12, in verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is before us. I want to talk to you this morning about, will you win life's greatest race? Will you win life's greatest race? One race in life is greater than any other race, greater even than the race in Indianapolis or Daytona, or for those who like Formula One, the race in Monaco. That is the race that the Bible talks about in Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 1. And let us run with patience the race that is before us, said the book of Hebrews. The Apostle Paul must have been interested in race and games, because he talks about fighting the good fight and about finishing the course. If you turn your Bible to 2 Timothy in chapter 4 and in verse 7, you find that particular statement made by the Apostle Paul. In 2 Timothy in chapter 4 and in verse 7, he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. As you see, the apostle is familiar with the sport activities. Now, the most important race of all is the battle for the souls of people. And That is a race that we all are in right now. Whether you like it or not, you are in that race. Because I play professional soccer, I was involved every year in a race to win the championship, and every 4 years in the race to win the world championship. And because sport in several ways are symbolic of that great race, I will bring to you this morning some evaluations of that verse 1 as I look in the background of my sport activities and my coaching activities, and I refer from time to time to some of the American sports, and you will see how a sport and the race of life relate to each other. And so I'm going to make several suggestions of what a sport activities are and what the race of life really is. First, I want to call your attention that sports have goals. Sports have goals. In our sport life, the goal is like this. In golf, the goal is to get a par. In American football, is to cross the goal line with the ball. In soccer, is to put the ball across the goalie line. In baseball, is to score runs. In basketball, is to shoot baskets and make points. In chess, the goal is to make a checkmate to your opponent. In races, the goal is to cross the line first. And so in every sport, you have a goal. And so in our spiritual life. Look in your Bible in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14. Philippians chapter 3. In verse 14. In sports, we have goals, and so in our spiritual life. We read in Philippians in chapter 3 and in verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We are all in the race, and as you get older, you are pressing near the finish line. I want you to know, no matter who you are, one of these days, you will be crossing that line, the finish line. When you reach that line, there are two ways that you can go. One way is to go to heaven, and the other way is to go to hell. There is no alternative. There is no metal wall of partition. There is no intermezzo. There is no metal place. It's either you cross the line and you go to heaven, or you cross the line and you go to hell. Which way will you go? Paul knew where he went. Listen again. You look at the beginning, so you don't have to look again. In 2 Timothy 4, 7, he said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. It's done for me. He has reached the goal. And it is my prayer that you too will reach the goal that takes you to heaven and to eternity with Christ, and not to hell forevermore, and then in the lake of fire. So in sport, you have goals. And so in the Christian life, we have goals. And the goal is to reach heaven. Secondly, in sports require discipline. And I'm talking about professional sport. Sports require discipline. We cannot live in a sloppy life and be champions. A champion boxer trains for a long time before he goes into the ring. People who are champions do not abuse their bodies with alcohol, cigarettes, and of course, drugs. They have to be disciplined. And I remember the times that each time I walk on Friday to the train camp just to be locked until Sunday for the game, they wait you. You cannot get 100 grams more in your body. Boy, the coach will blow up if you pass your weight. That's what the discipline. I keep telling my mother, Italian mother, don't make spaghetti. Don't make those things. I cannot eat those things. Oh, son, you eat more and you'll be strong. My mama thought if I was big, you know, that would be good. Requires discipline. Our spiritual life
requires discipline. If we want to be champion with Christ, we can't be half-hearted Christians. We have to be disciplined. And look at what Jesus said in Matthew 16 and in verse 24. We must have discipline in our Christian life. Matthew 16 and verse 24. Then said Jesus unto the disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Matthew 16, verse 24. If any man will be after me, will be my disciples, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. We need to deny ourselves because self is the biggest problem in our training for Christ. You know that? When you come into the picture. In 1 Corinthians, in chapter 9, and in verse 27, the Apostle Paul gave us a picture of his discipline. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27. Paul said, but I kept under my body and bring it into subjection. Paul was in control of his self-image. Paul is saying that he kept himself in constant training, never give himself a food. It meant that he kept his passion and his anger and his appetite and his person under subjection, the subjection of Christ. And that's the discipline of our life. I'm not free to do what I want to. I have to live according to what Christ wants to. And so yourself has to be gone. Thirdly, sports requires precision. Precisions. There was a sign in the locker room as we walked in our stadium, as we walked out, the locker room was underground, and as we were ready for the game and walked out, was a big sign. Mistakes are not allowed, was the sign. And the door was shut horizontally, and then they opened up, and there was another sign. Mistakes are not allowed. And you walk over there, so you refresh your mind that today the coach said, nobody makes mistakes. Can you imagine the skill that takes to pass a race car at top speed without ending in a disaster? Have you seen? Have you watched? I watch my son-in-law racing cars and a high speed and a curve passing another car. Man, that takes precision, precision, and top of his skill. Fangio, one of the greatest racers in the world in the 50s, five times world champion from Argentina of Italian family. He used to say this. He said, before the race, I walk for 3 days on that racetrack to find out every inch that I can turn so that I cannot miss by an inch any curve or any detail. That's how precise the drivers have to be. Can you imagine the accuracy that it takes to shoot a super round of golf under the championship pressure? I watch those guys playing golf, and they are tied by 1 or 2 points, and you see them, and here it is, and boy, the precision that takes. There is no room for error, my coach used to say. There is no room for error. You cannot walk ahead. You cannot look on the right when you have to look on the left. You have to watch the legs, watch the body, watch everything. There is no room for error. And he had a yellow flag that when I was sloppy, he will put the yellow flag like crazy that I was sloppy. I need to be active all the time watching what's really going on. In our spiritual life, there is no room for error. God is precise too. Let me show you how he is precise. Water freezes or boils at a specific degrees. All right? The law of gravity decrees that objects heavier than air are attracted toward the center of the earth. And I never saw that I can take a pen and if I open my fingers, rather than going down, went up. Never. And the reason, ladies and gentlemen, is because God has decreed and has established that this is the way that is going to be. God is not disorganized in nature, and he is not disorganized in spiritual things also. If God is not disorganized in nature, he's also never disorganized in spiritual things. And so he is precise for the salvation of human beings, and he lays a plan. And the plan is in the Bible, and I'm going to share it with you. You're going to see the precision of God. Anything else is false and will lead you to a wrong place. But if you follow God's plan, his precision plan in the scripture, you will arrive to the crossing line. Number one, God gave us his word. It's what we call sola scriptura. In 2 Timothy, in chapter 3, and in verse 15, the Bible makes a remarkable statement concerning the importance of the scripture. And Timothy knew about it because of his grandmother and because of his mother. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. And that from a child that has known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Is the Scripture that make us able to believe. It's not the church. It's not the pastor. It's not the institution, it's the scripture that makes you able to believe. You see that? That's God's plan. Precise. Precise. Anything man made is not precise. But God is precise. It's the scripture. Number two, he gave us a savior. He gave us not the Apostle Peter. He gave us not the Apostle Paul, not the Apostle John, in which we can trust and be saved. He gave us a Savior. Turn your Bible to Acts chapter 4, verse 10 to 12. And look what here Peter said. Here's Peter speaking in Acts chapter 4, verse 10. Be it known unto you all, unto all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucify, whom God raised from the dead, even by him that this man stand before you whole. Verse 11, this is the stone, Jesus, which was set at naught of your builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He is precise. Sport requires precision, and so spiritual life requires precision. It is the word of God. It is the Savior. Precise. No room for any other. Or you made a mistake and you end up no crossing the line, right? He gave us a Savior, but more than that, God gave us a teacher. God gave us a teacher. Look in John, in chapter 14, and in verse 26. In John 14, and in verse 26, the Bible said, by the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. If you are a believer, in John 14, 26, the Bible says, the Holy Spirit is able to let you know who is Jesus Christ. More than that, if you are an unbeliever, the Holy Spirit can convict your heart. You are in John 14, go in John 16 and in verse 7. Jesus is ready to leave, is ready to go home. And he said this to the disciples in John 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now look in verse 8. Why we have the Holy Spirit. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, unrighteousness, and of judgment. He will convict the world. The Holy Spirit is the one who does the conviction. So my friend, God is precise. He gave us his word. He gave us a Savior, and he gave us a teacher. Outside that, it's all baloney. You go to the wrong place. you end up in the wrong place. And that's what mankind created, religions, and invented all kinds of religions, because deep in his heart, he knows there is a supreme being, but he doesn't know how to reach there until he respects God's precision. It is the Word, it is the Savior, it is the Holy Spirit. Outside that, there is no way you can be saved. Four, sports have rules. Can you imagine? Some of you here know soccer, and some of you play soccer. So can you imagine a soccer game or an American football game where every team have their own rules? What a mess, don't we? What a punching to the referee back and forth, all right? Can you imagine? Because you make your own rules. So in the spiritual kingdom, you cannot make your own rules. But what about the rules of life? The race have rules also. And the Bible is a rule book. You read the Bible, study it, and learn the rules of the Christian life. For example, there is a rule for salvation. Look in Romans 10, 17. There is a rule for salvation. In order to be saved, and you learn this in Sunday school today, you need to believe. To the one who believes that Jesus, everything is possible. You need to believe. But you can say to me, Pastor, that's fine, but I cannot believe. And I say, I agree with you. I was young and I cannot believe. But look at what the Bible said in Romans 10, 17. So then faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of Christ, or the word of God. When you read this precious book, the Bible, the miracle happened. There is miracles in the Bible. And the greatest miracle is as you read the Bible, God is able to reach you, modify your mind, penetrate your heart, and change your life all around. The Bible. That's the rule. You cannot come to me and say, Pastor, I'm saved. How do you know? Well, a light came from the roof and said, you are saved now? No. But there are people telling me that. No, sir. The only way of salvation is God's intervention through the miracle of revealing himself through the scripture. Now, you want to prove that? Turn your Bible to Galatians chapter 1. And in verse 16 and 16, you have the Apostle Paul testifying how he was saved. These are the rules. Galatians chapter 1, verse 16. But when it pleases God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. When pleases God to reveal his son in me. You remember the story of Paul. He was knocked out on the floor and God spoke to him. And God spoke to him. And when God spoke to him, he only hear it. And the rest, the Bible said they hear a noise. But Paul hear the word. And the word reached him. So there is a rule for salvation. There is a rule for fatherhood. If you turn to Ephesians 6 and then verse 4, you have a rule for parents. There is a rule in the Bible. And ye fathers, or ye parents, in Ephesians 6, 4, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Do not provoke them to wrath. Do not overrule them to the point that you become God. Just rule them and bring them in the admonition of the Lord. There is a rule for those who want to get married. And I have single people here. If you want to get married, there is a rule in the Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, there is a rule for marriage. The Bible says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion have light with darkness, and what concord or what agreement have Christ with Belial, the name of Satan in Arab, and what power hath he that believe with an infidel, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols, for ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, and I walk in them, and I will be their God. And they shall be my people. And so, therefore, there is a rule to get married. It's not the pastor's ideas. It's not your family ideas. It's God's idea. And we studied this not too long ago before I went to the conference in Genesis 24. That Abraham need to get his son Isaac again. And he called his manager. And he said, now you go to my family. and get one from there. Don't go to the Philistines. Don't go any other place. Why? Abraham knew there was a rule in the Bible. There is a rule for building a home. You just get married. And you say, what can I do, Pastor? Psalm 127, verse 1. There is a rule for building a home. Look at what the Bible says. 127, verse 1. Except the Lord, said the scripture, build a house, they labor in vain that build it. You can work day and night. You can have one job in the morning, one job in the evening. You can have overtime. You can have all the Silicon Valley pleasures of life and boats and houses and so on. But unless the Lord build a house, your house is empty. There is a rule for building a home. There is a rule for church attendance. Look in Hebrews chapter 10 in verse 7. There is a rule for church attendance. In Hebrews chapter 10 and in verse 7, the Bible says, and let us consider one another. It's talking about people on this earth. To provoke and to love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembly of yourself together as the manner of some is. But exhorting one another, and so much the more ye see the day approaching. This is not talking about future, it's talking about now. In heaven, we're all going to be together, whether you like it or not, we're going to be there. There is no reason to say, to provoke each other in love, because in heaven, we're going to be perfect like Jesus is. No, it's either. Just like Jesus is. We're going to love the unlovable. And by the way, in heaven, we're all going to be lovable, because the unlovable would not reach there. And so here is. We need, see, there is a rule for everything. In a sport, there is a rule. Then let's run the race, said the Apostle Paul. Number five, is sport have opponents. Sport have opponents. Soccer game involves two sides, not just one. To win the game is to triumph over the opposition. In a soccer game, team E should score more goals on team B, and so that win them. And so, there, in our spiritual life, we have opponent also. The Bible says in 1 John 2 and in verse 16, 1 John 2 and verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life are not of the Father, but are of the world. Now, you see, there are three opponents in your Christian life. Three opponents. Number one, there is the world. Number two, there is the flesh. And number three, there is the devil of pride. Now, the flesh works from within, and the world works from outside, and the devil works from every side. That's what I figured out. Again, the flesh works from within, and the world works from outside, but the devil works on every side possible. Now, how are we to handle this opponent in our spiritual life? I knew in soccer, we knew who is going to play in the other team. And each one of us, the goalie knows one thing, the fullback knows another, and we know how to handle each of the forward line. And if we cannot handle right, we kick, break the leg, and too bad. But that's how we were instructed to do so. We know how to handle the enemy, all right? No mercy in professional soccer. Now, how are we to handle these opponents of our spiritual life? Well, remember, it is the world, it is the flesh, and it is the devil. How are we going to handle? The Bible gives us instruction. Now look, in 1 John 2 and in verse 15, we are not to love the world. 1 John 2, 15. Love not the world. Love not the world. Do not have passion for anything in this world. Love not the world. How are we to handle the flesh? Look to Romans chapter 13 and verse 14. Romans chapter 13 and verse 14. The Bible said, make no provision for the flesh. Look at this. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. That's the way you handle the flesh. And how you handle the devil. So powerful. Well, look in James in chapter 4 And in verse 7, the Bible tells you how. In James chapter 4 and verse 7, the Bible said, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Resist the devil. You don't yield to the devil. You have power over the devil as a believer. You resist the devil, and the devil will flee from you. Number 6, in sports, scores are kept. Scorekeepers are essential for every game so that you know how you're doing. So in the spiritual life, the Bible says that God keeps a score on us. Believe it or not. There are two books. One book where the unbelievers are listed. Look at Revelation chapter 20 and in verse 12. Actually, there are many books for the unbelievers. In Revelation 20 and in verse 12, we read, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. So that's number one. There were books where the unbelievers are listed. But also is the book in Revelation 20 and verse 12, we saw that there was one book. See? Book was open, book singular, which is the book of life. Notice people were judged according to their record, according to theirs. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. Not in the book, but in the books, according to their word. And so the unbelievers will stand in heaven, and their record is going to be there. And no lawyer beside you. And you're going to be guilty before even you start. And no settlement out of court either. That's it. It's settled. For the believers, your name is in the book of life, so you don't go through the judgment. Are we glad? Are we glad that we don't go through the judgment? Number 7, sports have reward. Everyone who competes in the games goes to into a strict training. They do this to get a crown that will not last. In soccer, every 4 years, you play the championship of the world. I mean, the real championship. America plays baseball, world championship, just east against west. But not. This is the whole world. And we have to play against people that you never met before. And there is a reward. In the spiritual life, we have a reward too. And we get a crown that lasts forever. Look in 1 Corinthians 9 and in verse 24 and in verse 25. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 and verse 25. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receive the prize? So run, that ye may obtain, and every man that is striving for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. See, our crown is not a physical crown in your head, it's an incorruptible crown. Paul talks about that in 2 Timothy again, chapter 4, verse 7, and in verse 8. Look at what he says. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, he said in verse 8 in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. A crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And then he said, and not to me only, but unto all men also that love his appearing. Unto every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a crown of righteousness, which is salvation. The salvation of your soul. Abraham knew it. Genesis 15:1, God said to Abraham, I am your exceeding great reward. Ladies and gentlemen, the $4 million question. Are you in the race? Are you on the winning team? Are you running empty? Do you want to cross the finish line to victory? What should I do, Pastor? Listen what the scripture said in Matthew 11 and then verse 28, a very known scripture. Come unto me, said Jesus, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, they are empty, and I will give you rest. You're running empty? Come to Jesus, and I will give you rest. Pastor, how do I go to Jesus? Well, you go to Jesus like the man today in Sunday school, that when we saw Jesus and he asked his son sick, he said, Lord, have mercy on me. Remember the Sunday school lesson? He said, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. Your disciples can do nothing. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Lord, I'm confused. Lord, I am tired of the world and myself. Have mercy on me. Give me light, oh God. Lord Jesus, I'm coming to you empty. Give me mercy. Would Jesus listen to that? Listen to John 6 and verse 37. Listen what Jesus said in John 6, 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, said Jesus, I will not in no wise cast out that person. Isn't it fantastic? Isn't it great? The problem is we do not turn to Christ. We turn to philosophies. We turn to books. We turn to religions of the world. But we do not turn to Christ. This is your moment to cross the finish line to eternal life. You need to cross the line. You will cross the line one day. Will you cross the line to be found that you lost? Or you will cross the line and find out that you win because of Christ? All depend what you have done with Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the lesson. We are in a race. And in that race, we have rules and regulations and coaches. The Bible and Jesus. Anything outside that will defeat us. And so, Father, I pray that those who listen here in the auditorium, that those who listen over the radio and over the internet and over the tape ministry and the television, that they may recognize that we are all in a race, and older we get, closer we get to the finish line. Lord, my heart cry for those who are confused, for those who are settled on religion, but not in Christ Jesus our Lord, because he is the victor, and he's the one who gives us victory. Oh, bless, oh God, that your people may come in. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to say, praise God, to him be the glory. Amen.
We're pilgrims on the journey of the narrow road, and those who've gone before us lined the way, cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary. Their lives a stirring testament to God's sustaining grace. Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race not only for the prize, but as those who've gone before us, let us leave to those behind us the heritage of faithfulness passed on through godly lives. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our believe, lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. After all our hopes and dreams have come and gone, and our children sieve through all we've left behind, may the clues that they discover and the memories they uncover become the light that leads them to the road we each must follow.
Will you stand, please, as we close? As you go out the door, there will be the table with the Gideon's material, and you're welcome to look on it. And when the Lord gives you some extra money, and the Lord does good in our country, then think, how can I use these for the ministry of the gospel? And Gideon is not a bad place to put the money, because you put the money in what we talked this morning, in the Word of God. Father, how precious and how proud we are that we love you, because you have sought us and rescued us and give us faith through your word. This morning we have a double blessing in having these guests with us who love your word. And we love the word, and we love them because of that. And Father, we pray that we be conscious of that race in which we are in. Lord, one day we're going to cross the line. We need to answer now, because when we cross the line, we'll be too late. So bless those who believe to sharpen their life, and bless those who believe not to search their heart and to see where they are before you. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.